talking with Joseph Gill, live and direct from Hawaii, the Big Island to be exact. And Elizabeth is still on the phone listening to us in the great state of Washington, Battleground Washington, on KOTK. Hi, Elizabeth. Go right ahead.
Thanks for letting me have my last point, and thanks for your show and for your guest, Jeff.
You're welcome.
Just one little thing on Tacitus. He was born in 55 A.D., so he couldn't have written the passage about Jesus in 52 A.D. That wouldn't work. And Josephus has been dealt with so many times, I don't even think I need to address that. But to me, the New Testament is about the clash between the Greek culture and the Persian culture after Alexander the Great conquered the Persian holding in Palestine and Syria. And there's an intriguing one tiny little line in Britannica that may be the opening for all the research that we need to do to get our own history back. And it goes, the god Jupiter or Mazd was widely worshipped in Palestine in the early Christian era. And why is that god not on the list of the bad gods in the Bible? Or is that god in the Bible? Is that the god that the Bible's about? That's where my research is leading.
Uh-huh. Well, you might want to also research Saturn. You know, are you familiar with the Golden Bough?
I'm having a real difficulty
Fraser?
With my phone, and I can't hear your guest. Would it be okay if I just hung up?
Yeah, sure, Elizabeth.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay, Elizabeth is listening. Joseph, go ahead and just...
Yeah, you might want to also research Saturn, because if you've heard of the Golden Bough, which is a two-volume work by Fraser, James Fraser, at the turn of the century. Actually, it's an abbreviated edition of a 12-volume work. He talks about how Santa Claus came from Saturn, and Saturn is in the north. And in the north, he came out of the north because it was you know, where Santa Claus lives. And he represents the cold. And Saturn, Santa Claus, and Satan are all the same figure in mythology. And then you go to the devil, you go to Lucifer, and Lucifer was the light bringer, and he was represented by Venus. Or we put him in the center of the earth because that's a hot place. Well, Venus is a lot closer to the sun than we are, and is a lot hotter. Whereas Saturn is further away from the sun than we are. So we represent that as being out of the land of the cold. So Satan and Lucifer are two completely different individuals. Now, very few people realize that. But they have really nothing to do with each other, other than they are both, in a sense, evil, because they both are opposed to Christian religion.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
So they lump them together as, well, Satan and Lucifer are the same, but they're not at all.
Right. Okay, let's take another phone call and say hello to Sue in Ventura County, listening on this program via KQSB and Santa Barbara. That's AM 990. Hello, Sue.
Hi, Jeff.
Hi.
I want to thank you for your show. I listen as often as I can.
I'm good.
Thank you for having your guest on. I just wanted to make one comment, and that was, I know that I appreciate some of the things your guest is saying about history being manipulated and distorted, but I know that historically, interpretation, whether it was now or then, can be construed in many ways by different mm-hmm. people depending on what they read and how they feel. And so these interpretations that your guest is portraying are based on information in books that he's read and the historians that he's studied, and I'm sure that there would be someone else that would disagree with him. And I also really feel like he's obsessed with a phallic symbol.
Let me mention this. If you study the history of Europe and India and literally the whole ancient world, on practically every street corner, there was a phallus. And that was called a stela. Now, it sounds like I'm absolutely insane, but believe me, if you study, there were monoliths all over Europe, thousands of them, that looked like a giant male penis. And what they did when Christianity came in, they chopped them all down and made them into road rock. Now, I have in my library some rare books that are first printed in the 1700s. They're very rare. There's only one or two copies of them in America. And they show steel types or steel engravings of those of those symbols, which were, if you go to Pompeii, they've recovered some of those artifacts from Pompeii, and they were on every street corner. They had a phallus. Yes, the original religions were to the sun and to the phallus. And my gosh, where would we be today if we didn't have a phallus? It is really our only connection to our own, to creativity, because without the phallus, we'd all be, we wouldn't be. And it's not that I worship the phallus. I'm just saying that's what it is in symbolism. There is this, the, without the phallus, we wouldn't live. Without the sun, we wouldn't live. It's very simple. And if you are able to look in, say, for instance, the on-off signal on your wall or many other places around inside of your daily life, you'll see phallic symbols. And it
but that could also represent the sun rising and setting if you want to talk about it that way.
That's excellent. Yes, that's true. And it's both. But the phallus and the sun are the two most primordial of all of our earthly symbols. And it sounds like I'm sexually possessed or some damn
thing. No, I just think
not,
it's kind of a stretch.
But the original nunnery, the original nuns, came to the church to be sheltered. And when they were there at the church, they were there for the service of the men that came to the church with their money. And they were used as prostitutes. And we have dug up, and many people know about this, hundreds of little baby skeletons inside of the old monasteries in Europe. And those were because those were aborted fetuses from the nuns. Originally, the old religions were worshiping the phallus and the sun. It's not that I'm a sexual pervert or anything, but there are lots and lots of good archaeological books that discuss this in detail.
Well, I still think it's a stretch to say that the on and off signal in the Washington Monument is a symbol of a phallus, but then again...
Oh, no, if you study Freemasonry, the most important symbol in all of Freemasonry, and of course that's a male organization, is the obelisk. And if you go to a lot of cities around the world, you'll be driving along and then you'll see this big thing where you go around and around and around and then you continue. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
Okay, in the center of that, you'll most always see a phallus. You'll most obviously see an obelisk. And I have numbers of books in my library just on the obelisk. Some of them are very rare, and as the lady before said, that a lot of our history is kept from us. And there are two meanings to the obelisk. One, it means ray, so it means the sun. And two, it means the phallus. So there's Hermes Trismegistus, which a lot of your listeners will know. He said that as above, so below, and as below, so above. I found in my studies that when you look above, there's a counterpart below. And above there's the sun, below there's the phallus, and they both stand for creation.
Thanks, Jeff.
Okay. Thanks,
yeah.
Thanks for calling in. Time
okay.
for our break, and we're going to continue with our last segment with Joseph Gill tonight. Coming up at the top of the hour, we're going live to London, England, actually west of there, of course, in the southwest part of England, to talk to Michael Glickman about crop circles. Okay, we are back and talking with Joseph Gill in Hawaii. And on the line is Chris, listening to us on KSYG out of Little Rock in the great state of Arkansas. Hello, Chris.
Hey, Jeff. How's everything?
Fine, thank you.
I always enjoy listening to the show.
Thanks.
I had a question for your guest tonight.
Sure.
I was wondering if he could comment on and maybe explain a little bit to the listeners about the origin and the symbolism behind the Hikarsti symbol.
Okay, Joseph?
The Hikarsti symbol?
Yes.
What is that, Chris?
That's the a lot of people confuse it with the swastika. It's actually the Finnish national emblem.
Right.
You'd see it on Finnish aircraft and
mm-hmm.
military equipment
mm-hmm.
in World War II, and it's really often confused with the swastika, but it's a distinct and different symbol. And I was just wondering if your guest had any comments on the origin of it.
Well, I'd have to see a picture of it.
Yeah, how close to a swastika is it?
Relatively similar, except on the ends, the ends of the cross are turned in a different way. It's very similar to the Balkan cruz, or literally the Balkan cross.
Right.
If you're familiar with that.
You know, there are hundreds of different renditions of the swastika. You know, I hate to put you off that way. But, you know, the Indians had one. There's looks like four sighs going around. It was a symbol of death. And so it's really death and death through the sigh and rebirth through the sun. But without seeing a picture of that particular kind, I have over 400 pictures of the cross and wonderful books on the swastika, which give many, many different renditions of the swastika. There's the swastika and the suvastika, which go around the other way, and that's called the female swastika. But without seeing it, I really wouldn't want to comment any more on it.
Okay. Thanks
yeah,
a lot.
I'm sorry, you know. A picture, I'm sure I'd be able to give you some kind of an idea.
All right.
I would like to invite your listeners, if they're interested, to contact me. I have thousands of books in my library, and I'm available and waiting to help anybody who is interested in just continuing the search towards truth. And you can reach me on my website through www.lavazone2.com.
L-A-V-A-Z-O-N-E
with a number 2 .com /
right.
J-G-I-L-L. And there are no spaces in there. That's www.lavazone, all one word, 2.com / That's from the bottom left to the top right, J-G-I-L-L. And on there is my email address. You can send me email or you can write me directly, and always include a self-addressed stamped envelope, because I'm doing this gratis, to Joseph Gill, S like Sam, R like Ralph, that's SR Box 7N like Nancy, Captain Cook, COOK, in Hawaii, HI, 96704. And I would be privileged if your listeners would send me their comments and letters and queries. I got quite a large reaction from your last show on June 1st, and I didn't get anything but very pleasant mail. I'm not looking for unpleasant mail. You know, I'm not. Basically, this is what I've found. And I consider, I would challenge those out there that really are into their religion that they certainly can't be hurt if what they're involved with is the truth, if they look at other literature as well. And that book on Bible myths of the world's 16 greatest saviors, or even if you just go to Kessinger, www.kessingerpub.com, you'll find in there many, many reproductions of ancient and almost impossible to get works on all areas of religions. It's got a fabulous section in there on Freemasonry, books that you cannot get in any library in America. And it's all there in acid-free paper. And so when you hear people say, it's almost impossible to get this knowledge, well, that's bunk today with the Internet. You can go right up to this site and order it. And I'm not in any way affiliated with the people that run this. I just applaud their fabulous effort of being able to make these ancient texts available to everyone. Incidentally, on my website, you'll see that my house is for sale.
Ah, yeah, and quite a house it is, I must say. I looked at the pictures myself. Why are you selling?
It's a four-story, 8,000-square-foot house, and my library is up for sale, too, at several thousand books. Because basically, I've dedicated 30 years of my life to this, and it's I've traveled all over the world studying this, and it's just time to do something else. I've had several different lives. I used to head up Sotheby's. I used to be a director for Sotheby's in New York. I taught at Harvard for several years. I've had many different lives. I want to experience many different things, and mainly my whole quest in life is to learn and to find the truth. There are not numbers of different forms of truth. There's only one truth, and that's what I'm interested in finding out about. The world is very complex, but I do find that the most incredible answers are the simple answers. And if I am fortunate enough to come back on your show, I'd like to spend a great deal of that time talking about the caduceus, which was, of course, it's the symbol of the medical establishment,
sure. Right.
Which they know nothing about.
Mm-hmm.
It was brought here by Hermes Trismegistus, and according to the father of history, which was called Herodotus, Hermes came here to the earth 17,570 years B.C., and he felt quite confident about that date. Now, this is the father of history, Herodotus, saying that Tho brought as his staff the caduceus. And in the caduceus, I have found so many wonderful things that it is just, it's all around us. The
interesting.
And that is the message of the gods.
All right. Let's go back to the phones. One more call. And who was on the line, please? Okay, Paul in Little Rock, listening on the Signal, KSYG. Hello, Paul. Your question, please, for Joseph Gill.
Hi. My question is, what was your reaction to the...
Pardon me?
What was your reaction to the recent book, The Bible Code, because it seemed to lend so much credibility to the original Hebrew text of the Bible because it was so scientifically scrutinized through the mathematical code that seemed
right.
to be in that text. What were your feelings on that?
Well, you know, I don't want to be evasive, but you have no idea how much I've studied this stuff. And I've got books and books and books and books on number symbolism, and I study number symbolism. There's a whole book written on the number 7. I have a whole book written on the number 3. And there are numbers of books that were written in the past about Bible code. I don't know, but, you know, I just don't see a great deal of worth in it.
Okay.
For myself, I'm not trying to put anything on your shoulders.
Sure.
But I think there are a lot more meaningful things that you can learn from the Bible. And I know, as I explained earlier in my conversation, is that when the Hebrews came in, they ascribed to a letter, both a number where it appears in the alphabet, and also a meaning, like gamma is camel. All the different letters, like mem, aleph, shin, all the different letters of the Hebrew alphabet, both have numbers and they have meanings. And so basically what I'm trying to say in a very long way is you can pull anything out of anything.
Sure.
It's just the way it is. There's if you give me any number, I can give you a tremendous amount of symbolism of what that number means, and I can take that voluminous amount of information, and I can put together a story that will make you happy or unhappy.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying?
Sure.
Yeah,
sure, I do.
The devil's in the details or something. But basically, my whole premise for all of my research since I was a child is, oh, what a tangled web we weave, if not only to deceive. And I have found, whether I'm studying Hinduism, Buddhism, Christianity, Freemasonry, whatever, the more you get into the details of the story, the further you get away from the simplicity of the message.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the basis of what I found in all my years of research.
Okay, last quick question.
Yes. You mentioned that you were seeking the one truth. Have you found that? And if not, what do you believe that you will find?
Okay.
Well, that's wonderful. I think I got a tear in my eye after that. Well, didn't I say about 5 minutes ago I'm selling my library?
Yes.
Yeah. And people come into my house and they look around. It's 9 foot high and about 50 foot wide. It's voluminous. I have many books in my library. There's only 1-2 copies in all of America, in any library. Yes, I have found the truth, and that's the reason why I'm on this show. And I want Jeff to know that I am moved because, well, of course, maybe my girlfriend's right. She said that she's listening to us talk. She said, well, all of those people that are hardcore religious people all left during the first part of the show, but I don't want to believe that. All the people that have called in have been very courteous and very respectful, and I applaud them fully. Yeah, I have found the truth, and the truth is in simplicity. Look for God all around you in nature. He is everywhere. She is everywhere.
Okay, Joseph, that brings to an end our remarkably intense 2 hours. Thank you very much, and we will talk again. Once again, the website address is www.lavazone, L-A-V-A-Z-O-N-E, the number 2, lavazone2.com/J-Gill, G-I-L-L. Drop by. You want to buy a gorgeous home, there's one there for sure on the Big Island of Hawaii. Thank you, Joseph.
Thank you very much.
Okay, good night. We'll take our news break and come back and head across the pond, as they say, to England to talk to Michael Glickman right in the middle of this year's remarkable crop circle season as we continue. Okay, we are back, and as I suspected, the phone lines are full. 1-888 on radio, and we'll get to as many callers as we can.
Full.
And my guest is Joseph Gill tonight, a controversial guest, certainly, a scholar of ancient civilization, symbolism and all of that. Has some views that aren't necessarily popular, but they're views that are worth hearing at any rate, and answering in each and every person's own individual way and preference. Let's say hello to Pat, calling in from Vancouver, Washington, listening on KOTK tonight. Hello, Pat.
Yeah, hi. I was just...
That's my old hometown.
Yeah.
That's what I grew up with.
Really?
Yeah, my family grew up in Vancouver.
Oh, great. Well, I've been here since 71, and I like it. It's a nice town. I had a couple questions. I kind of tuned in about 20 minutes ago driving home, and I was listening to a lot of stuff that I was thinking, wow, where's this coming from?
Yeah,
I had a question.
I can imagine.
I had a question.
Even if you're not Christian, you think that Jesus existed.
Well, that
even
was
if you're
actually,
not Christian, you think.
Actually, that was a question for me personally. I used to be an atheist. I didn't believe in God, and then I kind of changed my viewpoint, and I did a lot of reading, and I did read the Quran and the Gita and the Bible.
Right.
And you made a point that you said 90% of the message in the books related to each other. They were all the same. And one of the things that I did read in the Quran in book 4, it says that Jesus, according to the story, was not crucified. And in the Bible it says Jesus was crucified for our sins.
Uh-huh.
That's a diametrically opposite viewpoint.
Yeah, there are all kinds of viewpoints. There are books,
what I'm saying,
and books
is those
written
two...
on the fact that Jesus went off with Mary Magdalene, and that their offspring are now the royalty of Europe, and they're controlling all of Europe, and they're all of the black families.
Would you agree that the Quran and the Bible do not have the same message?
Well, I agree that they're very different, yes.
Oh, okay. Because it sounded to me like you were saying that all the books had the same, 90% of the same message.
No, the stories of the sons of God are all similar to the T.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, the word Jesus just comes from the word Jesus, which originates from the name Horus, which was the son of Osiris and Isis.
Well,
and incidentally, Isis, which is spelled I-S-I-S, was the early rendition of Mary, and Ra was where they changed from mother worship to sun worship. Ra as in Amun-Ra. You've heard of Amun-Ra?
Yeah.
Yeah, Ra is the sun, and El is from an old name meaning Saturn. So is Ra-El is the makeup of the different belief systems of the Jewish people.
Mm-hmm.
That's the reason why they go to church on Saturday, because it's Saturn's day, as opposed to Sunday, which is the worshipers of Jesus.
Well, let me ask one specific question about Tacitus.
About what?
The Roman historian Tacitus. Now, I'm going to read this quote. Christus, the founder of the name, was put to death by Pontius Pilate, procurator of Judea, in the reign of Tiberius. But the pernicious superstition, repressed for a time, broke out again, not only throughout Judea, but through the city of Rome also. And that's in Annals. So that's a Roman historian talking about Christus.
Okay, this goes back to what I said, Joseph, but we can't really throw out a tremendous body of historical data that supports the reality of Jesus Christ. That doesn't discount anything you've said about symbolism in the past before that time.
Well,
you're asking people to throw out a lot of history here. That wasn't all written by that group of bishops in 325 A.D.,
Well, there is no reference before that time for a Jesus Christ.
Well, you just heard one.
There are many references to the other two sun cults.
Now, you just heard the reference that the gentleman read that spoke of a specific human being.
Right, right. And when did he live?
Well, this was written about Jesus in 52 A.D.
Uh-huh.
Pretty close time frame there.
But then also Flavius Josephus, who was the Jewish historian, of 37 A.D., and Lucian of Samosata, who was a pagan who scorned Christians, and he wrote, it says, quote, "The man who was crucified in Palestine because he introduced this new cult into the world." So that's their first log ever persuaded them they were all brothers. After they have transgressed once for all by denying the Greek gods and by worshiping that crucified sophist himself and living under his laws. That's a pagan that he was writing satirically, but at the same time he was writing about the reality of somebody named or somebody.
Well,
I questioned it
because of the similarities.
I think there's room.
600 translations of the Bible. Plenty of opportunity to change things to fit the story.
We all agree with that uh-huh. The Bible has been and can be corrupted on any number of occasions as we look back through history and used for self-serving reasons. However, I would suggest that there is room for both realities here.
Well, if there was a Jesus, then he had a very parallel story with a lot of other people that pre-existed.
What's wrong with that?
Down to having...
Maybe his life was interpreted in light of some of those ancient myths and legends, and that's how it came to pass, that you're reading it that way.
There's virtually nothing that is said of Jesus' life that is not said of numbers of other lives before.
Of other,
detail.
Other individuals who came here with a message.
The Son of God.
Okay.
In fact,
is there any other
Saint
guy?
Basil said that any decent man of the time was called the Son of God.
Okay. All right, Pat, go
Can
ahead.
I ask one last question,
sure.
And I'll hang up?
Sure.
Is there any other god in pagan mythology who wasn't just crucified, but he died for someone else's sins? Thanks. Bye.
You bet. Thanks for calling in, Pat. Joseph?
Krishna.
Okay.
Yeah, and along with a large group of other sun gods.
All right. Again, that's not really something that we have to discount to accept the reality of Jesus Christ. Paulette is calling in now.
I see these symbols in nature.
Uh-huh.
And I see that symbols that I see in nature are in nature because they work the best. Nature has had the years behind it to come up with a proper answer. Say, for instance, the phallus of a man is right in the center of his body. He has two arms and two legs to protect it. And it's deemed more important than his mind because his head is stuck on top of his shoulders. So the phallus is the symbol of reproduction.
I understand.
Yeah, it's the only way that we can get close to God is by our own ability to reproduce life, and that's where it comes from.
All right, let's get back to the phones and see what Paulette has to say. Listening on AM 990 KQSB. Hello, Paulette.
Hi, Jeff.
Hi.
Thank you for having Joseph on.
And
sure. Joseph, I want to thank you for sharing your studies with us, and I appreciate any information.
Well, thank you very much.
Oh, I appreciate any information that expands or questions my worldview.
You remember what they did to Galileo, don't you?
Well, I don't
know. Gricernius?
Is Gil short for Galileo? Is that
I don't know, but it's the way I feel on the show. And basically,
Well, you're a wise man. You knew that was coming.
Yeah, well, a wise man knows he knows nothing, so.
All right. Paulette, question.
All right. Hang in there, Joseph.
Thank you very much.
My question is this. In your research on ancient times, have you seen symbols or read stories that reveal an extraterrestrial involvement or some sort of control with humans?
Well, we can get to a more pleasant subject on that note, and that is, you know, I mean, I know you that your audience is Zachariah Sitchinite, and
I'm not, but that's all right.
You know about Zachariah Sitchin?
Yeah, but I'm not. But
I used to live about six blocks from him in New York, and he wrote a series of a number of books hitting upon in detail exactly what you're saying. Now, as a past scientist, I used to be a guest lecturer at Harvard. I've spoken at MIT, Berkeley, University of San Francisco, Portland State University, and other places. And it's just, you know, it's amazing what kind of reaction you get on this sort of thing.
Okay. Anything else, Paulette?
Well, just if there are any specific... okay, so you're referring me to Zachariah Sitchin for this, for symbols?
Oh, yeah, and, well, what I would say to you is the answer is not in the Bible, and the answer is not in Darwin's theory of evolution, because mm-hmm. there's virtually, now this will hit, everybody's going to hate me after tonight, but there's nothing in the in Darwin's theory that's held to fact. Not a single thing. There's not a case of one single species turning into another species.
We've discussed that on the program before.
Right. It's just totally a fraud. They have a whole wing over at the Oxford University dedicated to Darwin. Darwin's first edition of The Origin of the Species came out, and he said he could turn a bear into a whale with given enough time. And his second edition came out and took that out. But there's been... So it's not answered by the Bible, and it's not answered by science. And, yes, my opinion is, and I have a great library on UFOs and ancient history and the unexplained. I virtually have, you know, every book that I know of. And I'm sure that we were planted here.
Okay, that's what I think, too. Thank you so much.
Thanks,
yeah.
Paulette. Sure, the evidence for extraterrestrial involvement on this planet goes all the way back. Be right back with more here at Sightings on the Radio with my guest, Joseph Gill, in just a couple minutes. Okay, welcome back. Sightings, the program. I'm Jeff Rentz, and don't forget the website, www.sightings.com. Lots of new material up there tonight for you. And we are talking with Joseph Gill on the phone live from Hawaii. And on the phone from Battleground, Washington, wanting to talk to Mr. Gill, is Elizabeth, listening on KOTK. Hello, Elizabeth.
Hi there. I do agree with Mr. Gill at least on one point, and that's the fact of suppressed history.
Uh-huh.
You know, we're not getting the real history, and it's
not at all.
It's too bad.
Not at all. But I'll tell you something. At the end of the show, I'm not going to ask you for a donation. I don't want you to buy my book. I don't want you to send me a thank you note. I don't want any damn thing. But what I'd get on my knees and beg you people to get is a few books of an opposing view studying history. The book that I'm trying to get people to buy, which I am not affiliated with at all, is the best book of the 250 books that I've read on this subject. I guarantee you, if you buy this book and it doesn't change your life, send me a bill. It's called Bible Myths by T.W.Doane, and that is a fabulous book. It covers all of these things in detail.
Mm-hmm.
It's written by a fellow that spoke Hebrew, Greek, Latin, all of the early languages. It was written in 1882, and it's a reprint of one of the greatest books I've ever owned.
It's one of your sleepers from your library. You got some really good ones.
Yes, and
can't find them anymore.
Things are coming up in reprint right now. And a matter of fact, you can go on the internet at any time to
KessingerPub.com.
And order this book. The only other book that I would think would be necessary if you want to go even further is called The World's 16 Crucified Saviors. Now, this publisher has taken a lot of extremely rare books and reprinted them on an acid-free paper. This sort of stuff that I'm talking about tonight was known in the 1870s and was written all about between the 1870s and the 1930s. And I have all of those books, and they're scholarly. They're not anti-Christian books. They're not hate books. They go through all the old texts in the original language. In those early times, when you went to college, you learned Greek, Latin, like my father did. My father was a very well-established orthopedic surgeon in Vancouver, Washington, and did a lot of surgery in Battleground, Washington. And he knew Greek and Latin, and he could read these early books. We can't do that anymore.
Right. Okay, Elizabeth.
We can't even do math anymore.
Let's hear from Elizabeth here. Go ahead.
Well, I just wanted to make a point about Tacitus and Josephus and straighten that out. But, you know, what is not available to us, unless we really know how to dig for it, is a huge body of archaeological and historical translation that actually started after Napoleon conquered the Middle East, and all the great European Orientologists went in there and they found the Old Testament in the ruins of a huge Canaanite city, 26,000 people in the year 2400 BC. And they dug up 20,000 clay tablets that had, you know, the story of Israel. El is the Canaanite god. Word.
That was Nineveh.
Samuel, Daniel. You know, I mean, that's where the Old Testament came from. The Old Testament was actually written fairly recently, maybe even in the year 200 AD. There's a lot of scholarship on that.
It's a compilation.
But getting to the point about the trial of Jesus and the mentions in Tacitus and Josephus, and really this is not what I wanted to talk about, but I hate to leave something like this on. It was common in the Middle East for cultures to invent their own history and also take earlier god tales and convert them into human stories. They just, you know, they would just like we do. We do the same thing. I mean, that's what George Lucas did eventually. And
Star Wars.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's not an unusual thing, but it was routinely done back then. And, for example, the books of Ruth and Esther are based on Canaanite goddess tales. And
isn't it true, Elizabeth, if you have a real person, that same process can be applied to that person's life and can embellish it?
Oh, totally. I mean, you know, Mr. Gill is talking about the syncretism that took place in Europe in the 3rd and 4th centuries, but there was an earlier syncretism which Christians simply do not know about because the Bible doesn't deal with Alexander the Great. It doesn't deal with the fact that the Persians conquered the Philistines. It doesn't deal with the fact that the Phoenicians had the greatest literary society.
I don't think most of our listeners would disagree that much, if not the majority, of our real history has been obfuscated, obscured, and corrupted.
Absolutely.
I don't think that's really on the table for argument much.
Let me give you another example of a horrendous statements, okay?
Got about 1 minute, Joseph.
Jesus, the old name for, one of the names for Jesus, we called him the Lord. And Lord, in the old language, meant phallus. And when Jesus was on the cross, he was crucified, as many other saviors of us were crucified before. He was crucified with two thieves. There was one on the left, one on the right. Now, the one on the left didn't ask for forgiveness, so he sank down to hell. And the one on the right did ask for forgiveness, so he rose up with the Lord, or the phallus, to the sky. Now, if you look on page 1015 of Gray's Anatomy, you'll find that in all males of all races, the left spermatic cord is longer than the right, and that's the cord that goes down to the testicles. So that the left testicle on all men of all races hangs lower than the right. The right rises up with the phallus. And that is the story of the, when you walk into that room late at night and you want to turn on the light, you lift up on that phallus and you look up at the light.
Well,
the name On is an old Egyptian name for sun.
Right. Freud would love this discussion and others. Elizabeth, thank you very much. If you'd like to hang on, we'll give you one more quick question as we continue. We have to take our bottom of the hour break now, and we will continue with more in just a couple of minutes here at Sightings on the Radio.